Mark in chapter number 16. This week I was attended and was honored to say a few words at Brother Ward Harris's funeral services. And passed away at 100 years old and faithfully served the Lord. Praise the Lord for him. And I do pray for the Harrises as they're traveling back this week. And it's good to have them one more service. But I do pray for them as they'll be traveling back. Brother Ward Harris, after his salvation, surrendered to missions, went to the Central African Republic and went where not many people wanted to go. But as was testified this week, he went there because there were souls there, the souls that needed to be saved. Then we had the funeral service up at Mount Vernon, where he attended church for many years. And one of the associates up there gave testimony that at age 96, Brother Ward Harris went door knocking with him, and that he had a hard time keeping up with Brother Ward Harris as he was going. In his last few months, he's been in Kansas there in a nursing home, and every resident at the nursing home had received a gospel tract from Brother Ward Harris. When you looked at out in the foyer and over here the other day, the fellowship hall, you could see pictures. Brother Harris was at first putting together a DVD presentation and things, and he had some old slides, and I got to see a few of them here one night when he was here. But Brother Harris had a problem. Brother Steve Harris couldn't find any pictures of his dad. All the pictures were of all the people, which pretty much summed up his life. It was people. I mentioned a sermon just the other day that church is not and was not created and established for the lost, but for the believer. I fear that too many sit in church week after week just waiting for someone to make a decision. And while I'm thankful for every decision that's made, and if you're here today and you're not saved, I would beg you today to come forward and accept Christ as your Savior today. But I think too many sit in a pew week after week looking around wondering who needs to make a decision today, when really, every time we're in church, we should be asking ourselves, Lord, what decision do I need to make today?
Yeah.
Because church was established for us as the believer to grow in the Lord so that we can go out and lead someone to the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been given the Great Commission as a church, and all of God's churches, to go forth and to preach the gospel. And I want you to see in Mark chapter 16, nothing new today, very familiar, but a reminder that we must not forget. In Mark 16, verse number 15, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." I want us to look at this reminder this morning. Father, I pray that, Lord, you just please bless the message now. I thank you, Lord, for the service already today. It's been such a blessing. Lord, I just humbly thank you, Lord, for our church, and thank you for meeting some needs today. And Father, I just pray that, Lord, you just please speak to our hearts today. I believe that we have followed you, Lord, and what your Spirit has led us to do, and I pray that we'd be fully surrendered throughout this message now as well. And Lord, we love you, and in Christ's name I pray, amen. I want you to consider just a few things real quick. Again, a very familiar, most people probably could have quoted that verse when I started it. But I just want to give us a reminder. Number one, that we have a command. We have a command. And our command is simply stated in two little letters, go. Our command is to go. Again, and I don't want you to misunderstand me, please, I reiterate, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, please come forward today and accept Christ as your Savior. God wants everyone to go to heaven. It doesn't matter your background, doesn't matter your social status in life. God loves you, and Christ died for you, and God wants you to be saved today. But again, he designed church for the preparation or the perfecting or the maturing of us so that we as God's people may go out and win the lost. I just give you something to think on. That the Lord sat many times with large groups of people, thousands of them. But you'll struggle to find out of those large meetings and seeing people, you know, come forward and get saved. Again, don't misunderstand me. The work of Christ and salvation was done in a day-to-day life. Every day of his life, meeting people, building relationships. He was walking along the seashore one day and met Peter, James, and John, who were mending their nets. He met a tax collector one day. Paul was on his way to arrest and to persecute Christians. The Lord Jesus met lepers. He met the demon-possessed. He met the blind. He met the deaf. He met the dumb. But praise God, they all were transformed by their meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I, praise the Lord, we have a duty to do, and that responsibility is simply stated, go. And I hope you'll catch the difference. Again, I thank the Lord, you can get saved anywhere. You can get saved in this auditorium today, or you can get saved out there in the middle of a field. You can get saved at your living room couch like my father did and my grandfather did. You can get saved, praise the Lord, at the workplace. You can get saved at the gas station, because it doesn't matter where you are or who you are. It's who you put your faith in. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, in the year 2021, and it's been going on, that we have made church the spectacle. Instead of the place to prepare us to go forth. And again, our command is one little bitty word. What is that word?
Go.
You know what that requires? Getting up and going. But we've made church the spectacle when it comes to this, and we instead, even our soul winning, we come check out, come worship with us. Come meet our people. And we have the greatest people, in my opinion, on the face of the earth at our church. Come meet our pastor. Come hear our singing. Praise God for the good music we have at our church. But our job's not to get people in so they can come and get entertained or hear a good song. The command's not to, you know, get people to check us out. The command is to go and to tell them about Him. The command is to go. And if we are going to obey, we have to go. The Great Commission, as stated in Matthew chapter number 28, go ye. To go. Read it real quick. Just back a few pages. Matthew chapter number 28. Keep something going. We'll go right back to Mark. But in Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 19. Again, look at the verse. First word, Matthew 28:19. What's the first word? Ready? Go. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. To go. I ask you today, I ask Kazabo Baptist Temple, and by that, that's every one of us as members, to answer the question, are we obeying? Are we going? You say, do I have to go to the Central African Republic? If the Lord wants you to. But that word go just means to get up and to go. That's clearly the command. And so I ask for a simple answer to every one of us to answer in our heart. Am I going? We can evangelize here in the church, and we do. I prayed this morning, if anyone's here lost, that they'd come forward today and accept Christ. I pray with that junior church next door, if there's a child over there that doesn't know Jesus, that today's the day they put their faith in Christ. And that'd be wonderful, and we'll rejoice. But have you gone? Have you made an effort to go? Have you made an effort to obey Christ in this? To go outside of the church and to reach someone? When the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Word of God, what do we see? We see, you know, you'll struggle. Even after when the Lord ascended and the church was meeting, you're going to struggle greatly finding an invitation and finding people coming forward and getting saved. And I'm all for doing that, and I hopefully have made that clear. But where do you find conversions? In a chariot. In a chariot sitting by a river. In a woman sitting by the well. In a meeting with a friend at night. I believe our responsibility, again, is simply stated to go. Which means that we have to, look at me, take our evangelism out. I'm all for the evangelism that's taking place in this place even today. But are we going? Because there is a difference. Are we going? We've challenged to pass out 10,000 tracts this year as a church. We've laid some more out there, and I encourage you to take those. Why? Because we need to go. You say, well, you know, if I start talking to people, they may ask me questions. I what if I don't know the answer? That is what church is for. That's what your personal Bible study is for. The perfecting of the saints, a walk with the Lord. That's why we have this. But we must go. And I want to encourage the church, if you don't get much else today, to truly take this to heart and answer this question this morning. I do not doubt, and I'm not belittling any ministry. We have lots of ministries here. You can't possibly do them all. It's impossible. But I'm not asking, and praise the Lord for everyone who cleans nursery. Praise the Lord for, you know, every aspect, Sunday school and junior church and all that I understand is part of it. And that is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. But when was the last time that you obeyed and you went? And you did something outside this property? Because that's what going is. When was the last time you reached out and built a relationship and shared the Word of God? The word command, the word go. And then I want you to see back in Mark chapter number 16, you see the command, which is go. Then you see the compass, if you will. It says in verse 15, go ye into all the world. The command is to go, and then it tells us where to go. Into all the world. You say, preacher, we've heard this many, many times. I agree. But are we doing it? That's what James talks about. Don't just be a hearer of the Word of God, but a doer of the Word of God. I mean, if I was preaching on, and then I will in a second, so I'll give you a good opportunity. If I was preaching on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we'd all be, yes, amen, praise the Lord. And well, we should. But I'm preaching just as much Bible right now and saying that we need to go. But we're quiet. Because we struggle in this. To go. To take the gospel. To build relationships with people. To listen to them. To talk to them. To have a heart for them. If anything this year, the Word of God is not bound. That is our theme this year. And may we take this Word and may it be effective in our community and the world this year. The compass is to go into all the world. To take this. It's further instructed. Turn over, again, nothing new today. Turn over to Acts chapter number 1. You probably know what verse we're going to look at. In Acts chapter number 1, you see this further described. In Acts chapter 1, and in verse number 8, Acts 1 and verse number 8, the Lord's ascending. The disciples, that first church, is getting its commission further instructions. It says in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And by the way, if you're saved today, He has come upon you.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit, you are indwelled with the Holy Spirit. It says, "And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and into the uttermost part of the earth." We have been given the compass of where we're to take this gospel, and that is to the whole world. That is, in this passage of Scripture, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. Let's stop and think about that. Jerusalem. What is our Jerusalem? It's right here. It's ground zero for our church. It's Goshen. It's Morrow. It's Blanchester. It's Milford. It's our community. And again, when I say, you know, to go and take the gospel, and do not misunderstand what I'm about to say, all right? But when I say that, I don't mean you have to go and, you know, just knock on a door and go right into the gospel. If the Lord leads you to, please do. But there has to be... I thank the Lord for separation. I thank the Lord for these things. But you got to get out of your bubble to reach people. You got to get out of your bubble to reach people. You're going to have to sit and talk to your neighbors. Many go through different routines every week, and you see the same person to get your coffee every morning. Have you ever once, tried to give them a gospel tract or tell them about Jesus?
That's right.
You stop at the same gas station. You have the same customers that come into work. You have the same neighbors for years.
Yes.
That's our Jerusalem.
Yes.
That's the people that are around us. Which is why, and again, I'm not here to pound us on the head, that's why we ran a bus through Goshen today. Amen?
Yes.
I mean, Mrs. Anderson's sitting here because we ran a bus. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
That's why we went down to Milford today, and we ran a bus in Milford. Yesterday, one very, very faithful servant of God who goes out every week said, "I'm going to put a flyer at every door."
Yes.
And today, some little girl got a flyer yesterday, and her dad walked her out to the bus and said, "Can we put her on the bus for a new rider?" Yes.
Yes.
And she's sitting over in junior church right now.
Glory to God.
Why is she here? Why is she hearing the gospel? Somebody said, "I gotta go. Gotta go." And again, we made an effort to knock on some extra doors yesterday and to leave extra flyers, and God bless that. And He always will. He said, "I'd like to see more people at church." Me too. But have you gone? Have you gone? Have you invested? Have you sought to reach our community? Have you done your best to, again, evangelize those that are around you, building relationships with them, talking to them, speaking to them? I have gotten during out this whole COVID. I'll give you another idea. All right? Throughout this whole COVID thing, at my house, 3987 in Blanchester, Westboro Road, I have gotten 3 handwritten letters from Jehovah Witness addressing me by name, wanting to introduce their beliefs. handwritten. There was no photocopies. Three of them. I hand wrote them back. And I'm being really kind. I thanked them. At least they're doing something. It's a lie. They believed a false truth, and if they don't get saved, they're going to go to hell. We have the truth. You say, I just have a hard time going. Write a letter. At least, as off as they are, they're convinced enough to do something. We are to reach our community, our Jerusalem. It's our neighborhood. That's our area. Judea. That's our surrounding area. You know, we, and praise the Lord, again, not here to pound on our heads. Praise the Lord. We have seen a church planted out there in Hillsboro. Praise the Lord for that. That's our Judea. We've gone down there to Elmwood and Arlington Heights. Our Judea. And I say that to say this, let's not be done. Let's be praying now, all right? In our Judea, where is there a lack of gospel being preached? Let's get there. Amen. Let's go, because that's part of our commission. That's our Judea. That's our surrounding areas. That's why we have done these things, and we want to invest in these things, because this is our responsibility. We need to do something. Did you know we set our Judea would be the Cincinnati metro area, which when I checked it this week, there are 2.2 million people living in Cincinnati metro area. Have you passed out one? We have visitation opportunities. Jump on board that Saturday. Brother Harris, put him on the spot. Because he's not afraid to do that either. So, how many people attend your church down there in Magdalena? On a Sunday. How many go out visiting Saturday? $25 and $15 go out visiting. No, I didn't prep you for that, did I? But I knew. We have a job to do. I don't know how many is here this morning. 160, 170. Surely we can get more than four. Surely. Surely. We can get more than four. And I know everybody can't. And I know work schedules, and I get it. And I'm not specific. When I say the Great Commission, it's not Saturday at 10:30. It's every day.
Yes.
But we have a big opportunity. Our Judea is huge.
Yes.
I plan this year to go, first time in a long time at our church, to go stand on a street corner and pass out tracts and preach in our Judea. If they allow fans to go to opening day, we're going to go pass out tracts. We're going to look for opportunities to reach our Judea. And the whole time praying, all right, God, where else can we now start to see a church started?
That's good.
Our Jerusalem, our Judea, and then Samaria. And again, we always just count. I've heard many times to say, well, that's another area region. Samaria is more than that. Samaria to the Jews was the people they didn't like.
That's right. Yes.
They didn't like them. They considered them dogs beneath them. I mean, mile-wise, it's the same as Judea. But there is a reason why they're mentioned in this verse. Because had they not been mentioned, probably wouldn't have even thought about going there. That's why the disciples who had to have walked by that woman that got saved at the well in Samaria, if they went in the city and she was coming out of the city, but nobody spoke to her, and they were pretty amazed that Jesus was actually speaking to her. But she was a soul. In Gazzetta Baptist Temple, we have a Jerusalem, we have a very large Judea around us of over 2 million people, and all those people that maybe you don't agree with, and you don't particularly care for, or don't like the way they look, or don't like the way they smell, or don't like the way they are identifying, or don't like the lifestyle that they have chosen. They are souls that we have a responsibility to reach. I do not care where they come from. I don't care what they look like. I don't care their lifestyle. I don't care their skin color. We need to reach them and love them with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether they are, here's opportunity for church division, Republican or Democrat, Christian, love them. Don't get so caught up in our world events that you forget that we have a higher job than anything else that's going on in the world today. More than a political division, more than a pandemic, there are eternal souls that are going to live forever or somewhere, and we have the answer in our hands. So there may be a group of people. Hey, this year, ready, church? Why don't you go down and pass out coats to the homeless? Amen. You know something? After the services on Friday, there was a lot of extra food. Harris's took what they wanted, and there was still some extra, especially chicken. We had lots of chicken. And the Prices packed all that chicken and the extra food up, and they went and knocked on the door at the firehouse. They said, guys, we had a church function today, but we appreciate you, and if you would like this, we'd love you to have it. And they were thrilled. Well, the Price gave them a tract. They hung it up on the bulletin board for everybody to see. He said, Brother Price didn't preach at him. He planted a seed.
Yes.
Planted a seed. We have a command to go. The compass is our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the earth. There's where our mission field and missions comes in. We are to see the gospel spread places beyond our reach.
Yes.
If God calls you to go, go. Surrender today. I don't care what continent it is. If He called you to Antarctica, go. You say, why would He do that? I know of 7 people on the continent of Antarctica that got COVID. Somebody's there. I heard it on the news. They never lie. There's people there. Wherever He calls you to go, go. And just think about how God and what God's done. Harris's are planting a church in Mexico. What a blessing.
Yes, that's good.
There's one in southern Arizona. Solid work preaching the gospel today. Praise the Lord. They're meeting in Gunnison, Colorado today. Preaching the Word of God and the truth. And by the way, last week they had a first-time visiting family that left and was so excited to see a biblical preaching truth in church. In about a month and a half, sending out a family down to southern Florida to plant a church. What a blessing. We even have a family in Siberia, Russia. Who is done with Sunday, but has preached the Word of God. We are blessed. The church in Hungary preached the truth. We could go on and on. And you say, well, praise the Lord for those that were sent. Well, if God wants you to go, be willing to go. You say, well, God doesn't want me to go. That's great. We all can give to help in seeing this work get done.
That's right.
To help others and to invest in souls.
Yes.
And I close, again, nothing new, simple. The command is what?
Go.
The compass is to into all the world. And here's our commission back in Mark chapter number 16. The commission, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Our commission is to preach the gospel. Our responsibility, and praise the Lord, giving the fire department the chicken was a way to say thank you for serving our community, and this church appreciates you. But it's also to plant a seed. And we'll water that seed. And we'll do our best to go on. Because as much and as kind as that is, that's not the end. I'm glad they got a good meal. And I'm glad we have a good testimony and rapport with them. But we haven't fulfilled the commission by giving them a chicken dinner. Because the only thing that's going to change their life and everyone else's life, and the only thing that changed my life and yours, is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, I just don't know what to say. Here's good news. Paul said this, that his prayer was that people would not get blinded from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Do you know you don't have to be a pastor to be a witness? You don't have to be a missionary on a foreign field in order to preach the gospel. You say, well, I'm not sure what to say. If you're saved, you should know what to say. Because all you're doing is sharing what Christ did for you. You're preaching the gospel. And the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15, in its simplicity. Turn over there real quick and we'll close with this. 1 Corinthians, I may say close with this 10 times, but I will. I'm getting closer. Alright, 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Look at this with me real quick this morning and in verse number 1. 1 Corinthians 15 and in verse number 1. And it says this, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The gospel in its simplicity is just a few things. Number one, we all have a sin problem. That's why Christ died for us. In verse number 3, it says how that Christ died for our sins. We all have a sin problem. We all are sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. I'm a sinner. You are a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of our sin, we deserve death. We deserve that lake of fire. We deserve hell. That is our eternal destiny without Jesus Christ. Because that's the best we can earn. We all have a sin problem. But praise the Lord for the Savior's passion for us. He says there in verse number 3, how that Christ died for us. You know why He died for your sins? Because He loves you. He loves you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we preach the gospel, all we are preaching is simply, as this passage of Scripture says, we are sinners. But Jesus died for our sins. Praise the Lord for that. Remember I said earlier I'd preach on this and you all be able to amen? You made me a liar. Amen! Praise the Lord for the gospel. We are sinners, but Christ died for us. You see, sin's problem, the Savior's passion. He said, why do you think that greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend? He loves you. But not only that, but we have sure proof. It says there in verse number 4, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. So how can you be so confident in your salvation? Because Jesus loved me, He died for me, and He conquered death. Death could not keep Him. That empty tomb, without it, keep reading in this chapter, our faith is vain. But because of an empty tomb, because on that third day He arose from the grave, we have eternal life. Death has been conquered, it's been defeated, it's been whipped. Jesus is King, He has the keys to death and hell, and all those who are His children, we too have overcome. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You see, sin's problem, the Savior's passion and sure proof, an empty grave. We just have a simple performance. Verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which also I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand. You say, how do I get saved? You have to receive what was just preached. That's it. That's what the Bible says. Say, but how do I receive it? John chapter number 1 says that. Turn over there, and then I'll be done. John chapter 1 and verse number 12. You have to receive. How do you receive? John 1 and verse number 12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that what? You believe on His name. How do I receive the gospel? By believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, today, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, and by that, biblically speaking, you've never come to a place in your life and you said, I know I'm a sinner, but I know Christ died for me, and I choose to believe on Him. When you make that decision, mystery above mysteries, but your sin is removed and His righteousness is applied to you. Praise God. Have you had a time in your life when you received Jesus Christ? He says, is it really that simple? It is. It is. God wants you to be saved today. And then to all those who are saved, that's what we have to go and tell everybody about. Praise the Lord for opportunities in God's house to share it. But the commission goes beyond here. And it's not just for Brother Harris. It's not just for Brother Burke. It's not just for Brother Slee. The Great Commission wasn't given to individuals. It was given to the church. And you have that responsibility to take the gospel and to go. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank You.